Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from our holy gospel found in Luke chapter 8. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. This is God's word. Back in May, I went over to Camp Luther for one of our two yearly pastors' conferences. And they always bring in a speaker to speak to all the pastors and church workers throughout the district. And a lot of times these conferences are kind of boring, but it's good to catch up with other pastors. I always see Pastor Ott there, Pastor Keller, and Pastor Mackey often goes to them still. So it's neat to catch up with other people and see other people that I know. But this one that we had back in May was really, really interesting because the guy they brought in to speak to us was a pastor who had written books about exorcism. We don't really talk a whole lot about exorcism, so I was naturally intrigued. And it was a fascinating talk that he gave. And I actually bought one of his books after the conference, and I've been spending a little time reading it. And I've basically taken away two things about exorcism from the conference and from the book that I've been reading. And the first one is that demons are far more active and far more present than we often give them credit for. They're definitely out there. And secondly, we are engaging these things and breaking their power all the time as the church. So this is really neat. Think about it. Almost everything that we do here in the church is about breaking the devil's power and sending away the demons. When you have your sins forgiven, the guy would point out, that's an exorcism. Because what does Satan and what do the demons want to do? They want to keep you filled with guilt over your sins. But when you're told that your sins are forgiven, Satan's hold is broken. The demons are sent scattering. When you hear the gospel preached to you, that Jesus died for sinners, and you are one of them for whom he died, that sends the devil fleeing because the devil can't stand the promises of the gospel. When you come forward to take Holy Communion, you are receiving the medicine that sends the demons away. Wherever we go, wherever we are, demons are indeed at work, but God, through his word, is breaking the power of the demons. So we're reminded that demons are real and that we as the church have power over them. We do well to remember to stay away from those things where we can rightly assume that the demons are at work. I'm reminded of the second commandment. No, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. A lot of you memorized it in the old 1943 catechism as, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." What does Luther say about that? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. So you see, we keep the second commandment not just when we avoid using God's name as a swear word, but when we do only those things which honor God's name and avoid those things which bring dishonor on God's name. We don't try to gain information, curry supernatural power through things other than the God of heaven and earth, the one who speaks to us. We don't, as Christians, consult things like horoscopes and astrology or fortune tellers or Ouija boards or even magic eight balls. Because that would be to dishonor God's name and his word, the way by which he speaks to us. We as Christians are reminded to avoid those things where demons are working. Now, those things that I mentioned, the horoscopes and fortune tellers and astrology and things of the sort, it's not that those things don't have power. But rather asking yourself, from where does their power come? And we need to be reminded that Satan is real. His demons are real. And they are out to get us. Satan has a lot of them at his disposal. We heard of a man today who was possessed by several demons. So much so that they went by the name Legion. A whole host of demons. In our Revelation Bible study that we're doing right now, back when we were studying chapter 12, we learned that Satan, when he fell from heaven, took one third of God's angels with him. Okay? So if all the angels that serve God, one third turned their back on God and now serve the devil. That sounds terrifying. Then we're also reminded that God still has twice as many angels as the devil has demons. God is always more powerful. God is always bigger and better and stronger than Satan. And we are on the side of the one who breaks the power of the demons. That one is Jesus, of course. We're reminded to stay away from the places where Satan and the demons may be at work. But Jesus in our gospel today goes right in the middle of where they're found. Jesus goes to a place that no first century Jew would in his right mind have ever gone. First of all, he's in Samaria. And the Samaritans were people that the Jews didn't really have dealings with. They were a people who had rejected the right worship of God. And therefore, Jews didn't deal with them. So Jesus is there among the Samaritans where Jews didn't go. He's in a place that's near the tombs, because that's where this demon-possessed man had been hanging out. And Jewish people, well, they don't hang around dead people. You certainly don't touch dead people. Jesus had done that already, raised a dead person back to life. So Jesus is in a place you don't go, among people you don't go with. We read that there were people herding pigs nearby. Now, all of you know that Jews, who they use the term they eat kosher, well, they don't deal with pigs. They don't eat pork, right? So a Jew would never go to a place where there's pigs hanging out. And then you have this demon-possessed man. Not only is he possessed with demons, but the reading tells us he's naked. Why would you go hang out around a naked, demon-possessed man? But that is where Jesus goes. He goes in the midst of all these unclean, unholy things because he is the Holy One, the one with power to make clean that which is unclean, to make holy that which is unholy. And Jesus exhibits such power in the face of the demons that the demons literally beg him for mercy. Do not torment us, they say, because they realize that the presence of Jesus and his word is what sends demons scattering because they cannot stand the presence of it. There's a little part of the text here which is actually really interesting, that the demons beg Jesus not to send them back into the abyss. Well, that was another thing we talked about in our Revelation study. What is the abyss? It's a little bit unclear, but we know it's the place from where Satan and his demons come. They come from a bottomless pit, a place of darkness, an abyss. And the demons beg Jesus not to send them back to the place from which Satan sent them forth. That's fascinating. They would rather be sent by Jesus into this herd of pigs than sent back to the devil and his power. So Jesus allows them that mercy. He sends them into a herd of pigs, and the pigs go flying off a cliff down a precipice and are drowned in the water. Might be the sort of thing that would give animal lovers and people who don't like cruel and unusual treatment of animals, that kind of makes us uncomfortable. To other people who really love ham and pork chops and oh so delicious bacon, what a waste that all these pigs are gone. But what Jesus is doing here is really important. Why does he send a herd of pigs and a legion of demons to be choked and drowned in the water? Because he's the one who breaks whatever is unclean, whatever is unholy. He's the one who sends the power of the devil scattering. You might think that, you know, we're not really messing around. We're not dabbling in the dark arts, are we? I mean, we're not the sort of people. You might say to yourself, I don't care about fortune tellers. I don't pay attention to that. I don't read my horoscope and put a lot of stock in it. I don't worry about those things. I must be safe from the power of demons. But let me just say this, that Satan has all sorts of tools at his disposal. Sure, when you use those sorts of witchcraft, satanic arts, the second commandment calls them, you open yourself to the power of demons. But Satan is at work, and his demons are at work wherever true Christian faith is being put to the test. There's an old saying, some of you heard me say it before. Some people say Luther said it. I've heard it. Others say that it came from somewhere else. But the saying goes, wherever God's people build a church, the devil builds a chapel next door. In other words, here where we are gathered in Christian faith to receive God's gifts, you can bet that Satan is nearby trying to thwart what God is doing, trying to keep you from trusting in God's promises. One of the ways he does that is through false religion. Francis Pieper, who was a Lutheran theologian, seminary president, the one-time president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod back in the late 19th century and early 20th century, he once wrote that there are basically two religions. There is the Christian religion, which has saving power. All others leave man in darkness and in the power of Satan. Whenever anything causes you to doubt what God has said, that's Satan at work. That's the demons at work. We have a perfect example of it in our epistle today. I mentioned we're studying Revelation on Thursday morning. On Sundays, we're studying Galatians. And what's happening in the city of Galatia, to which St. Paul was writing, was there was this group of people that were called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers were people who taught that in order to be saved, in order to gain God's favor, men still needed to be circumcised. Just like it was commanded to Abraham, just like the law of Moses taught. So if you were a Christian in Galatia, you had these people telling you, you're not saved if you're a male and you're not circumcised. You have to do this. The problem with that was it made a work out of salvation. It was something you had to do. And that was contrary to what the Bible had said. The Bible says, the gospel says, that Jesus gives us salvation freely through his blood. And that's what Paul is reminding them of, that if they were to go ahead and do this, they would in effect be imprisoning themselves. Listen to what Paul says in our text this morning. He says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. If the Galatians were to now all of a sudden believe that doing this work would get them saved, this work of circumcision, they would be imprisoning themselves. They would be letting themselves be held captive by the law. There was another character in our readings today held captive. That demon-possessed man, it said in our text that they tried to shackle him and hold him in chains, but the demons kept causing him to break those chains and send him out into the desert. What Satan and his demons do is to cause you to be imprisoned. You need someone who breaks that power. Being good Christian people, you know the answer already. That one is Jesus Christ our Lord, who through his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to come again, he breaks all the power of the demons, all the power of the devil, who cannot stand his presence. There is nothing that Satan and his demons want more than to keep you from hearing what you've heard today. Not from me particularly, because what I'm saying is anything specific, but the forgiveness of sins. That your guilt is taken away. You've heard that. And that has sent the devil fleeing. You have heard that Jesus Christ has died for you, risen again for you. The grave has no power over you. That sends the demons shrieking in terror and fleeing away. You come today to receive Jesus in his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Today, we are blessed, just a few minutes here, to welcome 6 new members to our church through adult confirmation. Now, don't worry, guys, I'm not going to single you out in the pews today. You're all going to be standing up here in a minute, and then everyone can look at you. But some of them are terrified right now, probably. What is happening today is these people, along with all of you, are placing their trust, their hope, their salvation in Jesus Christ, saying, he's my Lord. He breaks the power of the devil. And the devil will now want nothing more than to stop these new members and all of you who are already members from hearing that promise. Because he can't stand that promise. And that means each of you, dear baptized children of God, you have exactly the tool you need to exorcise the devil, to send him away from you. These words: your sins are forgiven. Jesus has died for you. Martin Luther writes in the third stanza of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God about the power of the devil, that he says one little word can fell him, can stop him, can send him away. There's been a lot of debate about what that one word is that sends the devil away. Some have said that it's the name Jesus. Perhaps that's what Luther had in mind. I like the idea that the one word that sends the devil fleeing is one Greek word in the Greek New Testament that Jesus says when he dies on the cross. He says, tetelestai, which is Greek for "it is finished." Sin is put to death. Satan is broken. The demons have no foothold in the life of the person who knows that Jesus has died for them. Dear friends in Jesus, you know that and you believe that. Thanks be to God, the Holy One, Jesus Christ,
goes to unholy places, goes among unholy people, goes among unclean spirits, unclean animals, unclean people. He makes them holy and clean and righteous as He is holy. Thanks be to God for His gifts given this day, for the power He's given us over demons, over the devil, over sin and death, and all those things that would keep us from our Heavenly Father. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.